Tonight, on the Nerd Outcast podcast, we discuss BioWare's Mass Effect trilogy. I'm your host, Chris Bastian, and like I just said a moment ago, we're going to talk about some BioWare, specifically the brilliant Mass Effect trilogy. I've assembled a group of nerd experts with me here tonight to talk about this wonderful group of video games. Let me go on and introduce them. My first nerd expert to my left is...
Rob Shoemate.
Hello, Rob.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Now, you're a gamer, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think you told me... Like, this is your this trilogy is your favorite game of all time. Is that correct?
So far, yeah. Unless something comes out next year that's even better.
So this is, like, number one in your top five?
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've played this game through.
How many times have you played this game?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay. He just said, I can't tell you. That's the question.
For legal reasons.
What's your second favorite game?
My second favorite game's it's another BioWare game, Knights of the Old Republic.
Really? Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just recently played it, both of them through again on my computer.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll come back to that.
Okay.
My next expert, I'm looking at him across from me right now, is...
Mark Soloff.
Hello, Mark.
Hello, Chris.
How are you doing?
Excellent. Thank you for having me back.
It's always a pleasure to have you.
I don't know.
I think I might make you co-host soon.
Oh!
Oh,
while.
Oh no!
Do I get double my salary?
You do.
Sweet.
What's double zero?
I don't know. I'm not a math major.
Yes.
I'm a gamester.
Is this Mass Effect trilogy, is this in your top five?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Is it your number one?
No.
Ooh, what's your number?
Oh, oh wait. Oh please.
What's your number one favorite game?
Oh yeah. It's hard for me to distinguish between the two. I'd have to say the Arkham City.
Yes, yeah. yes.
But that, I mean, that has the added thing of Batman, who, as you know, I'm a huge fan of.
And who's Batman?
He is the shadow that stalks in the night.
Isn't that Darkwing Duck?
Yes, that's Darkham City.
Oh, yes. That's coming out next year. So.
Yes. Oh, my God.
I would buy that.
I would
be a pretty awesome game.
Hey, DW, where are we going next? Yeah, totally.
And my final expert that has joined us tonight is actually Skyping with us all the way. Where are you, Pete? Where are you Skyping from?
Pennsylvania.
Whoa, my ancestral home.
All right, excellent. You Pennsylvania Dutch?
No.
Okay, then.
I guess not ancestral then, but I'm from Pittsburgh.
Oh, I was born in Pittsburgh. See, look at that, small world.
Yay.
So let me ask you, is this trilogy in your top five?
It is number one in my top five.
Ooh.
It is my absolute favorite game.
What's your number two?
My number two game? Possibly Portal 2. That game rocked.
All right. Those are both very good choices.
Thank you.
We judge each other.
I know. Why do we all judge? Now we're going to judge the next person I'm going to introduce. As is common with this podcast,
that's good.
I have brought an outcast on to instruct, to comment, to talk with, to talk at.
Talk at, I think, is going to happen more. But,
yeah.
All right.
And my outcast tonight is...
Steven Scalabrino.
Hello, Steven.
Hello.
So you've been on the podcast before.
A couple times.
So I was kind of shocked that you wanted to be the outcast for this, because I know you're a big gamer.
Yeah.
You're a big Xbox gamer.
Oh, yeah.
And I know you like first-person shooters, and you like role-playing games.
Yes.
So how have you never touched Mass Effect?
Everyone says that. I tried to play it. I just couldn't get into it. It was too slow.
Wait. This just got worse. You tried to play it.
I did try to play it. Yeah. It was too slow for me. Like, I had to stop and, like, tell my guys what to do. And I'm like, just freaking do it. I don't want to talk to you. Go do your shit. You know? I couldn't
we're not friends. We're squad mates.
I was like Call of Duty. My guys, like, flanking. And I'm, like, you know, giving covering fire. And all this crap is happening. I don't have to think about it. Like, it was too much for me. It's too much. Yeah.
So it is not in your top five.
Definitely not.
What it? Well, then let's.
Not yet.
Not yet. We'll see what happens in an hour. I don't know.
Let's. All right. Let's approach it like this. What What games would you put in your top five? And they don't have to be in order, just...
Well, number one was The Last of Us. Yeah.
Oh.
I haven't played that yet.
It is the best game ever. Yeah. Ever made. I honestly believe that.
You,
every way.
I also know you were a big Metal Gear Solid fan.
And your number original. Two.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
Metal Gear Solid was my number two.
Okay, here we go. Have you played Knights of the Old Republic?
Yes.
Did you like that?
No. Oh. Reason. It was like
I'm hanging up.
I should have a lightsaber.
Don't hang up.
I'm sorry, but like I have a lightsaber. I'm a Jedi. This should be fast, you know. And I'm sitting there like, pause. What are you gonna do now? I don't know. Freaking let me do it. Don't task me. You know, it's like I couldn't get into it. So it was too slow.
Did you like The Force Unleashed?
Yeah. Love the shit out of that game. Yeah.
Okay.
Throwing stormtroopers against walls, out windows.
All right. Cutting AT-STs in half.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
Wookiees too. Well, killing Wookiees, man. Hell
Steven,
yeah.
you're definitely the outcast.
Oh yeah.
So
bring it.
As the outcast, if you have any questions at any point, I'm gonna check in with you and.
I have plenty of questions. Trust me.
All right. Well, let's get this conversation started. Back in the year 2007, BioWare decided to release the very first Mass Effect on the Xbox 360. I think I'll start the conversation first. I was not a big fan of this game. In fact, I was insulted that they released Mass Effect, and I will tell you why. I thought it was really silly that they went and created their own science fiction universe when they could have made Knights of the Old Republic 3. When they had the gold mine that is Star Wars and abandoned it. Now, I'm sure that they probably abandoned it because of license issues or having to pay fees to Lucasfilm or whatever. That's fine. But keep in mind, they also created another game where they essentially created the world called Jade Empire, which also came out before Mass Effect. And I think it came out after Knights of the Old Republic 2.
Mm-hmm.
Commercially, it did pretty poorly. And I remember even trying it and was just not taken with it. I did not care for the world that they created. I felt it was just nothing compared to Knights of the Old Republic. So when Mass Effect came out, I turned my nose up at it. I was not impressed.
No matter how we tried. No matter how.
So, Pete, let's start this discussion with you. Did you play this when it originally came out back in 07?
Yep, I was shopping around for games in a big retail outlet chain. I'm not sure how far we could go with product placement. But yeah, I had a gift card and I was looking for games and I picked up, you know, I was just looking at covers and I saw on the back that it was a shooter game and then it said RPG elements. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll play any game as long as it says RPG in it. So I picked it up and I fell in love with this game. From the moment I could design my character's face and pick his backstory, I was like, oh, I'm hooked. I am hooked.
Yeah. I remember doing that part. That was kind of fun. I honestly made myself like in the game. It was scary. Like I sit next to my TV. It was my freaking face. It was ridiculous.
No.
I
made Samuel L. Jackson.
How'd you guess? Yeah. There you go, podcasters.
What were your initial impressions upon playing the game back then?
I really liked the third-person shooter aspect because I like games like Gears of War and Army of Two. I've always been better at third-person shooters than first-person shooters. I don't know why. So I like the combat elements. I felt it was like Knights of the Old Republic, only it had an amped-up, fast-paced action sequence. So instead of, like Steven was saying, instead of pausing, picking my move, and contemplating, I could run in there, run and gun, and wreak havoc. It was great.
Mark, same questions to you.
I forget what the questions were. Well, I do drugs.
What was your impression of Mass Effect when it came out in 2007?
So I was unfamiliar with it when it came out. Maybe around 2009, I went into sort of a heavy gaming phase in my life.
Fueled by crack.
Which makes the game seem super slow.
That's why I wasn't playing it right.
I'm also a big fan of playing it. So what? I had done Fallout 3 and fell in love with it, and that was, I think, my first like modern fall down the rabbit hole type gaming experience where I just spent like months playing the same game. and Mass Effect came out on Xbox Live. You could download it directly.
Oh, so you played it way later. Yeah, yes. Like you said 2009, 2 years later.
Yeah, so I had heard of it, but again, it was a sci-fi universe I was unfamiliar with, and I had my intellectual properties that I was already into. Mm-hmm. So I was like, eh, whatever. But I started down this road of like severe gaming, and I saw that BioWare made it, and I was like, I loved the Knights of the Old Republic games. So I figured, all right, I'll try it, and just got hooked again. Going down another rabbit hole, and I really liked it. Once I was done with the first one, though, I was good.
You were satisfied.
Yeah, and so the second one, I don't know if it came out around the time I was playing the first one, but it similarly wasn't on my radar, mm-hmm. and I did not play the second one until after I played the third one, which I loved.
I think it was pretty well known at the time that Mass Effect was the first of a trilogy, which was very ballsy of them to say.
I actually
say.
Did not know that.
I feel like they did announce that. I don't know how the public knew. I think like game journalists knew. I don't know if the regular public got to that information as easily. But BioWare has always planned for it to be a trilogy. Yeah, Rob, what were your impressions?
It's literally the reason I bought the Xbox.
Ooh.
And why you're an astronaut?
Yes. didn't know that, did you, world? No, I was reading a Game Informer, and I was trying to figure out if I wanted the PlayStation 3 or the Xbox 360, and I was looking at some of the projected games to come out, and they had some screenshots, early screenshots, and I was like, this looks really cool, and then later was talking to you, and you told me it was BioWare, and then I just kind of freaked out. I was like, done, yeah. So it's the reason I own an Xbox 360, well, reason I bought it first, and loved the game from the get-go, yeah.
Okay. Steven, I should warn you now, and listeners, we are probably going to talk about some major spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
It's Effect Good Trilogy. Okay. We'll try and be vague, but do you mind spoilers, Steven?
You know, I got most of them already. My roommate made all three of them in front of me, so I kind of know.
We'll try and avoid some major ones, but this could be a potentially spoilerific podcast.
You made a word.
You've been warned.
Hooray!
Yay!
So, for those of you who don't know, the first Mass Effect, you play as Commander Shepard, leading a crew of ragtag crew of humans and aliens as you travel around in your own spaceship called the Normandy, trying to hunt down a man named Saren who's trying to bring down galactic civilization, or that's what it appears that he's trying to do.
Question.
Yeah.
Is Saren an alien?
Yes.
He's one of the aliens.
Correct. One demerit for Chris.
What?
Steven has the board.
So,
didn't you know it's a competitive
I'll
podcast?
I'll take
this
card for 500.
Pixelarians.
Mass Effect, I think, personally, has a very similar universe to Star Trek. There is a council instead of a federation of aliens. Humanity, unlike Star Trek, well, it depends, I guess, which Star Trek you're looking at, but... humanity in this one is upstart, and they've just learned space travel, and they're new to space. And
cute little space travelers.
Yeah.
We are a young space.
They're not so cute. They showed up and started wars. I mean, it was all fun.
And start war.
We didn't start the
war. We did not.
You just won them.
We put the first shot in the war.
Okay, so, did they say how many alien races there are in the universe? Have they ever said that?
There is a codex in the game, and, BioWare, let their imagination run.
Okay.
There are tons of aliens.
Dude, there's floating jellyfish.
Yeah.
All right.
Hanar, yeah.
Wow, you know the name. That's impressive.
I know all the names.
So, focusing back...
Yeah, I'm a super geek. What of it?
Kind of like Knights of the Old Republic, you chose a class, and then you played through the game as that class, and you got supporting characters, and you couldn't really change your supporting characters' classes. I know in Knights of the Old Republic 2, you could do that.
You cannot this one.
Okay.
You can guide them along certain paths with their skills.
Okay.
Right.
But...
Steven, I think I know what you're talking about as far as like pausing and having the command wheel come up, which is real funny because it is like an action-packed game, but then you have to pause it and like sift through that command wheel, or you don't have to do that. I actually rarely use the command wheel.
Yeah, after I learned how to use the command wheel, you can set certain objectives to the bumpers and you can just have your your peeps do well.
Hotkeys or something. Yeah.
And the Xbox Kinect.
Here we go. Uh-oh. Product plug.
Which I do not have. Apparently, you can yell at your Kinect like, Liara, grenade! And that character will do that action.
Yeah. Huh.
That's pretty cool. All
right.
Is it cool?
No, because the Kinect is looking at you.
It's innovative. I think it might be the nerdiest thing in the world to be like in your apartment yelling at your alien friends. Passes you by outside.
So I want to talk about an issue that it has a very opinionated internet community around it. How many of you have played Dragon Age?
Oh yeah,
I have.
I'm raising my hand.
Steven, it's another BioWare game.
Yeah, I know of it. I haven't played it.
And
also in my top five.
Yeah. So how important is it that Commander Shepard actually has a voice? Because that's actually very uncommon for BioWare's games. You didn't talk in Knights of the Old Republic 1 or 2. I don't think you talked in Jade Empire. You don't in Dragon Age.
Not in Dragon Age Origins, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
How important is it that Shepard speaks?
I think it connected more. Like, you feel more for this guy.
Okay.
Or girl, depending on which one you went with. Yeah, I think it gave a voice to the character and just added another level of depth.
Like, do you think if they took out the voice, that would have been a detriment?
Yeah, I think it would have lost something for the game.
Mark, Pete, do you guys agree? Or
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. Because with Dragon Age Origins and with Knights of the Old Republic, they wanted you to be you. It's you in this world. But with Mass Effect, they had a specific vision, and they wanted a character that you fully crafted, but they wanted a character, something that you guide instead of you taking the role of. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mark?
I think that having the voice adds a whole lot because it is a third-person shooter. You see the character the whole time. Mm-hmm. It's not immersive. You're not in the eyes, behind the eyes of the character, and so you see that he is not you. And that's always been a sticking point with me. Like with Skyrim, when you go to over the shoulder mode, mm-hmm. I just don't feel like that character. So I think it's great that Shepard has a voice, and I also feel a stronger connection to Shepard as the character because it's not me, it's something else, and so I can watch that character go on a journey, and I'm guiding him instead of being him. And for me, that's fine.
Yeah, I feel BioWare kind of. If you take Mass Effect and Dragon Age and put them side by side, though they play very similarly.
It's easy for you to say.
Yeah, no. They have this very different design philosophy as far as their main character goes, where one is essentially whatever you want it to be, but they don't talk, because that would be expensive.
How many different races?
You'd have to do a lot of different races in Origins versus Mass Effect, where you all have a shepherd, but it is your shepherd. You know, and how your shepherd...
That's a big message.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Your adventure with Shepherd will be different from my adventure with Shepherd.
Did everyone just make that connection now? Is that the only one who made the connection?
They make it at the end of the game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's why I'm an outcast, so it's all new to me right now.
They actually... It's like they have a little cutscene hundreds of years in the future, and they actually... talk about
he's like leading sheep or something.
The shepherds.
We discover that the true alien race is the sheep.
Mortal enemy of shepherd.
So
goat in the room, what the hell.
The characters of Mass Effect, your squad members include Garrus, Ashley or Kaden. Wait, no, I'm sorry, you got both of them, never mind.
First one of them goes away at
one
some
of
point
them, yeah. Liara, Tali Zora, and Rex.
Whoa.
You're not even going to give races, are you?
Yeah, you're going to help me
yet.
Like, all right, give the races. Go and give the races.
Well, one of those a dog? I mean, what are all these things?
You've got Garrus the Turian.
Yeah.
Ashley and Kate, humans. Liara is an Asari. Erdnot Rex is a
Krogan.
Thank you. And Tali Zora is a
Corian.
So does that clear it up for you?
Oh, yeah. Totally. What? Come on.
One of them's blue, one of them's purple, one of them's a frog.
Actually, you don't know what she looks like.
So,
oh, yeah. Isn't her suit purple, or is that just the way I customized it?
Her suit's purple, yeah.
Okay.
You can change the suit, it's not.
She's got backward legs like a demon.
So, for my experts...
actually, kinky fetish of mine. Anyway, what?
For my experts...
Funny, you should say that.
Yeah. I'm listening.
Wait. Thank you, Pete. For my experts, these characters that I just mentioned off, the squad characters, for the first game, how do you think they're all interesting, and how do you think they stack up compared to other BioWare characters? Ignore the rest of the Mass Effect trilogy. I want to expand outside of that and talk and compare them to Knights of the Republic.
They gave all of the characters a lot of depth. That's the one thing I really, really enjoy about the series. Like,
do you think there are any throwaway characters or boring, quote unquote, boring characters?
Only Caden.
Ashley.
You said Ashley, Pete?
Yes. Oh my God. Actually, I wasn't a big fan of either of the human squad mates, but I kept Caden around because his powers were awesome.
Okay.
And I kept Ashley around because she had a nice ass.
She did. And so did Liara. So.
Mark, you third person view. All right.
Yes, sir.
Any particularly favorite characters or characters that jump out at you?
Oh.
You do a spectacular Rex impression.
Oh, thank you.
I'm Rex!
Wow, he's a dog. Seriously, you know what this thing is?
Rex is like he's like the big badass. So he's Shepard always comes up to him. He's like Rex.
Tiny hands, though.
Tiny
hands. And then Rex is like Shepard. Shotgun.
Shepard.
Yep, that's pretty much Rex.
Swear to me.
So yeah, it always comes back. Like I loved Dragon Age and Knights of the Old Republic and Mass Effect. And I'm sure that this is going to be a thing we'll talk about later, but they're all kind of the same game.
It's
the same mechanic.
Yeah.
And so it's implied.
We'll talk about it.
Out of those three like intellectual properties, I think the side characters, the squad mates in Mass Effect are the most memorable, and I cared the most about them.
Yeah.
Similarly, like you were like, is there anyone you didn't care about? The two humans, which is weird because they're corollary characters in Knights of the Old Republic, like the rakish Han Solo type dude.
Yeah.
He was the
Carth O'Nassy.
Yeah. He was like the Caden, and he's like, hey, I'm here to introduce you to the world, and then you can throw me out later when there's an interesting droid you can work with instead. I did the same damn thing with Ashley and Caden. Once I got cool aliens with interesting powers, I just ditched them.
Yeah. Dude, I think Carth and Caden are voiced by the same actor.
That might be why.
Ah.
But you're right. Like I did the same thing. My Shepard was very racist towards humans. Like I believe that I believe that we should all work together. So the moment aliens came on my ship, like that was my party. That was always my squad members.
On subsequent playthroughs, I actually used Ashley a lot because the first time I played through as a soldier, didn't need Ashley.
Yeah.
The second or third or fourth, I don't remember which time I played through and started as an engineer, I needed the soldier. So until I got Rex, I used her.
Yeah.
So she was a soldier, basically?
Yeah.
Just a basic...
She could use any of the weapons, yeah.
Oh.
She has an assault rifle. All
right. And as you said, she kind of introduces you to things in the world.
Yeah,
she's the first, the second major character you pick up in your party.
Yeah.
Like the old man in Legend of Zelda kind of thing.
Yeah, only far more whiny.
Just kill him too, so...
It'd be awesome if you picked him up for a party, like, in Zelda.
You can't, you stab him with the sword.
Yeah.
Too soon.
Pete, what about you? Do all these characters stick out to you, or are there any characters that kind of just fall to the wayside?
In the first game, like I said, I wasn't a big fan of Ashley. I mean, I played it through enough times that one of my characters ended up romancing her. One of my characters, you know, I ended up needing her when I was playing the Adept, same reason as Rob. But my favorite character in the first game is Garrus Vakarian. Oh, man. Garrus is the man.
He's actually my favorite character in the entire trilogy, but I can speak to that later. Yeah. So,
did I just hear something about romancing? Is that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Get into that. I mean,
much
you
like
can see some sexy blue ass.
Yeah. much like BioWare's other games, you can develop romantic relationships with various crew members, and you've got multiple options of people to flirt with and whatnot.
Make it with
in the first game you only had the two options. You had your human gender counterpart. You know, if you played a female, then you could go after Caden. If you played a male, you could go after Ashley, or you could go after Liara. Either.
It's pretty forced. Like even if you don't go after anyone, you will still get like a romantic scene where like you almost kiss. I mean that happened with me. Like I played a female Shepard and I didn't want Caden. And then, like,
right. Why'd you go after Liara, dude?
I didn't want Liara. She got all flustered, and I couldn't tell because she's blue, but.
when they blush, they turn green.
Yeah, no. But, like, I got a scene. Like, I had no romantic intentions towards either of those characters. And I had a scene. I had a scene with Caden come up where he almost kissed me, and I'm like, no! 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 I think of you like a brother! I think of you like boring brother that I want to discard for more cool aliens.
Hey, I wish I had an alien for a brother.
It was Rex. Rex is who I wanted.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yes, to answer your question, Steven, you can have romantic relationships, and they will carry over into the other games. In fact, I mean, I guess that's something we should talk about. Well, we'll come back. We'll come back to that. I don't want to talk about that yet. How do you guys like the villains? Saren, Benezia, and ultimately Sovereign.
Well, Benezia was voiced by
Deanna Troi.
So that was kind of neat.
I've never made that connection.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? That's all I can hear.
It's Marina Sirtis. Yeah. I thought Benezia, like, being a matriarch was pretty cool. I thought Saren was cool at first, and then, like, I think the story of this game is, the story is very well told. I don't think it does any groundbreaking science fiction. Like, gigantic mechanical aliens are eventually going to come and reap the galaxy.
I do like the idea that this is a cycle that keeps happening.
Yeah, that's cool, but that's very Matrix-y.
I thought the great leaps in science fiction for the game were actually when it came to the makeup of the races themselves. Because you could open up the Codex and you get this guy with this awesome narrative voice.
Yes.
And he is such a nice voice to listen to. Yeah. And so he could tell you all these insane details about the race, like their historical events, their government, their mating rituals, their militaries, and just... You can just learn everything about these races, and they put a lot of detail into each and every one.
Yeah, I feel they paid their writing team really well.
Really poorly. Or really that's poorly. Why they had to crank out so many words.
But I guarantee you, like, I feel the voice actor for the Codex may actually have more dialogue than Shepard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
He goes on.
I'm glad we're talking about the Codex, because real quick, I want to mention that something I love about this game is that the Codex reads itself to you. I really resent it. Like, I'm not an idiot. I do dumb things, but I really resent it. I really resent it when I have to do a lot of reading in a game. I'm like, I don't want to look at my TV and read a book. If I want to read a book, I'll read a book. So if I want to learn background info, I'd prefer that is in the dialogue, or in this case, the Codex, which reads itself to you, so I can put that on and clean my apartment.
Yeah,
which I've done.
And learn about the Sarge.
Really?
Yeah. I'm learning.
I'm gonna go drop a deuce and learn about his alien race at the same time. So go.
Is there anything else you want to say, guys, about the villains or the storytelling for the first game?
As far as villains go, it introduced one of the coolest concepts I've seen in science fiction, which is a sentient Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Sovereign is a starship.
He's a huge ship.
He looks like a cuttlefish.
And he's the giant mechanical creature that's going to come and...
So the bad guy is a ship?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the whole race are ships. Like, they're all huge, monstrous... ships
like Farscape and
the smallest ones are the size of skyscrapers.
That's
a cool idea. I like that. Yeah.
And you don't find out till the end of the game that Sovereign is just the first of many of these that are going to be coming soon.
Oh, you're talking about
he's like the little bitch who was left behind in the universe, in the galaxy. He wasn't even cool enough to go off and join his friends,
who just went to go to sleep for 50,000 years.
Real quick, before we jump into the sequel, how important is it that you have the Normandy? Like, the Normandy is almost like another character. Like, did any of you ever get that feeling from the ship?
Yeah, it becomes home, and especially when you return to it through the different games.
Yeah.
You can see how things have changed a little bit, but you still get that, like, you know what corner to turn around to get to what room, and that's cool.
To the point to they gave the ship a voice for the second and third games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Voiced by Trisha Helfer.
Yep. I really like the Normandy. I mean, I feel it's supposed to be like the Enterprise
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like, it's your ship.
I'm just going to ask. Like, the Normandy is like a bigger ship.
It's actually tiny.
It is tiny. It's probably bigger than like the Millennium Falcon.
Ah, right. Okay.
But it's not the size of like a full on battle cruiser.
And it's a stealth ship.
Yes.
Like a submarine.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. like a submarine.
But it's like it's got a very military feel to it in the first and third games anyway. You don't have that in Dragon Age. Like, there is no ship. There is no central location you go back to. You have your camp.
Yeah, you have camp. You have a bunch of tents in Dragon Age. It's like, then, ooh, I'm home.
And then in Knights of the Old Republic, like, they gave you the Ebon Hawk, but for some reason the Ebon Hawk never felt... It never did it for me. Like, the Normandy totally worked.
I think a lot of that goes to the pilot. Like,
Jeff Joker?
Joker, yeah.
Voiced by Seth Green?
Seth Green, yeah. And he... I think he as much embodies the ship. In fact, another spoiler, he kind of falls in love with the ship.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Well, she eventually gets a body.
Yeah. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, that's later.
Wow. Major spoilers. Okay.
Well, you know, since we keep kind of drifting to it, let's go in and move into the sequels. So you beat the first Mass Effect. You find out that there's impending doom upon the galaxy. And your Shepard decides to go and fix this problem because you're Commander Shepard. You're a badass.
Yeah.
And I'll go on and point out, I feel the first game already, like, the game starts out with you being, like, the last best hope for humanity. Like, you're already a very important person.
You become the first human Spectre.
And it just, like, goes, you become the first human many things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what is your military rank, though? Are you a
Commander.
Oh, Shepard. The ship?
Shepard. Yeah.
Okay.
Shepard.
All right.
You also become what's known as a Spectre, which works for the Alien Council. Think of the Council as the Federation.
Hey, Pete, what does Spectre mean?
Special Council Tactics something or other. I don't know.
Do you know what it means?
No, I don't.
Is it an acronym?
It is.
Okay.
It's a partial acronym.
Okay.
And the interwebs are all on Twitter.
You're essentially like, you're the hand of the council. Like, you have authority. Like
special tactics and reconnaissance.
There it is.
Hey, oh, okay.
And like, people have to like bend to your will. You know,
they don't
like,
bend to your
they
will.
They don't, but if you show up and you're like, I'm a Spectre, I want to, you know, open up your bathrooms, then they have to open up the bathrooms. Yeah.
You speak with the voice of the council.
Yeah.
All right. Like the SS or something.
Like Darth Vader.
Yay. Like Darth Vader, yeah.
Oh my god, you guys.
Darth Vader.
All right, we're moving on to the second game. So you get to the second game, and I'm going to have to say this now. Like, importing your character and all the decisions you made in the first game
was awesome.
Yeah. In fact, importing your character was like always one of my favorite things. Like, I always looked forward to it. Like, I just couldn't wait. I just loved doing that.
Legit changed the story too.
Yeah.
Like,
really?
Because I tried to play it without importing my character. I was like, fuck this, and went back because I was like, you lose so many plot elements.
Well, and you have no connection to that Shepard. You know, it's kind of strange.
What, give me an example. What is different than if you don't?
At the end of the first game, spoilers. You can, during the final battle, you can choose to save the humans or save the council. And if you choose to let the council die, then you start up the second game, and there is no council.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah, like let's say there's like six really important decisions that happen in the first game, and then like 12 tinier ones. Mm. You like, for instance, you meet a race of aliens who are supposedly
wiped out,
but they're not, and they're essentially like
hive mind.
They're like
insects.
The bugs from Ender's Game.
They're the aliens from Ridley Scott's films. You know, they're monstrous bugs from Starship Troopers.
Invade, whatever.
Yeah. And you have the choice to wipe them out forever or to free them and trust that by letting them go free, they'll be your allies.
Pete, you killed them?
In one of my games, I wanted to see what happened. And the thing is, it has no bearing. That's actually my biggest complaint about the trilogy. It has no bearing whatsoever on the plot.
Huh.
It made me so angry.
Oh, wow. See, but...
Okay. So let's jump into Mass Effect 2. You import your character. Mass Effect 2 included a very expanded roster of squad members. In Mass Effect 2, you had Garrus once again, Tally once again, Miranda, Jacob, Thane, Grunt, Morden, Samara/Morinth.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
Legion, Zaid, Kasumi, and Jack.
Whoa, that is a okay. Good cast.
I find it funny that all the names are like really exotic, and then Jack.
Yeah, yeah. Jack is a chick.
Jack is a girl.
Of course!
Covered head to toe in tattoos.
Yeah.
Nice, I'm liking this even more.
Jack
all
tats. Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Jack tats.
And she's bald, or buzzed-headed.
Yes.
She's like a fake space punk rock.
Yes.
And emotionally tortured.
Yeah. She's a, what do you call them, a suicide girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the first game gave you 6 characters. The second game gave you 12.
That's a good value.
Which is a lot.
How many could you have in your crew at one time?
I mean, they all...
Just two.
They can
you
all...
You could only have 3 people right, total, right. Like, including your Shepherd. Team.
Oh! Yeah. Wow.
They okay. Still gain experience. Like, people on the ship who don't go on missions are still gaining experience. Like, you don't have to build them up. But it was... I don't know about you guys, but for me, like, this was way too many people. Like, I never used Zaid. I never used Kasumi. Like,
I never used Jacob.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jacob, who, yeah.
Jacob was the, God, but a Caden. Just yeah. Like,
yeah, he was so, strong, he was such a throwaway character.
And
yeah.
He's the one that walked you through the beginning of the game.
Yeah. Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Although the little allegiance mission or whatever with his dad was pretty
creepy.
Messed up. Yeah. Things got real there.
Well, but before we go too much into the characters, Mass Effect 2, first impressions. Go.
Okay, when I first played this game, I was so pissed that I could not customize my weapons until
yes.
About 20 minutes into the game, and I realized I didn't have to get rid of all that stuff in my inventory, and I was like, okay, I'm cool with this again. And they did. They in the first game, you have no clips. You have no bullets. It goes off a heat system on the weapon, so you could fire until your weapon overheated.
Oh.
Second game, they introduced thermal clips
okay.
So that you have a certain number of shots before your thermal clip is done and you have to eject it in and put in another thermal clip.
Okay.
So it's basically the same heat system, but you now have bullets. I'm doing the air quotes.
The listening audience can't see that.
I know,
okay.
I'd say I know.
No, I could hear it in his voice.
Did you like Mass Effect 2 better than the first one?
Like I said, for the first 20 minutes, I was like, what the hell is this? What the hell is this? And I was pissed. And then I got through the game, and I do, but it's such a structured... That game, like that's the problem I think BioWare has, is they do this structure that is the same in every single game, and it's like really apparent in this one, because you have to go through and do... You've got the 3 main quests, and then you have all the side missions for all the little... for the characters to gain their allegiance, like you were saying earlier. Ultimately, yes, I do like it because it advanced the story to a different degree. I hated the end boss. Of the three, it is probably my least favorite.
Really? I feel a lot of people like Mass Effect 2 the most out of the whole trilogy.
Of the three, it is my least favorite. Just I love the collectors. I do. And it when it introduces them that they are the Protheans, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it was a neat idea.
The final boss that you fight is so ridiculous. It's a Reaper shaped like a human, and it's so silly.
It's pretty dumb. It's pretty dumb.
Reaper as in Grim Reaper?
Reaper like the big spaceship.
Oh,
aliens.
But it's humanoid.
It's humanoid. Like it's ingested humans, and it's like taken in their
ridiculous.
DNA. So now it's humanoid shape. It's really
okay.
Yeah,
the focus to it is great. Like wave after wave of all these collectors. And then you get to the end and you're like, really, BioWare? Really?
So a collector is...
Okay. I got this. Collectors are this race that comes out of this... one of the relays, one of the wormholes that everyone uses. There's one that's blocked off. It's a one-way zone. And they come out of there and they start kidnapping humans en masse. Like thousands of humans at a clip.
Like entire colonies.
And they're led by something called the Harbinger.
Which they never answered.
Yeah, they do.
By the way,
they do at the end of the game.
Who's Harbinger?
Harbinger is one of the ships. You even
he's a Reaper.
He's a Reaper. You see an image of him at the very end, as the Overlord Collector dies, as he releases control of the Overlord. You see the image of the ship.
Okay.
And then Harbinger is actually the one in the third game that's leading the Armada back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
The fact that we had to be like, oh, tells us that
it wasn't
super clear.
It was not super clear.
It's not explicit.
It was not.
Is it important? I mean, obviously not.
No.
Not really.
Yeah. He's supposed to, like, he taunts Shepard throughout Mass Effect 2 and like...
And 3.
Yeah,
he speaks through the collectors, and it's pretty creepy. Yeah.
He's like the one Reaper who's like decided to actually speak to Shepard, and it's neat. I don't know if it's necessary, because the Reapers are just so massive and such a threat. It's like, you don't have to taunt me. Your very existence is a threat to me.
Yeah, you're shooting at me. You don't need to talk trash.
You're the size of a planet. Why are you talking? Mark, what did you think of the second game?
Second game, similar to what Rob said, you know, that weapons thing just totally threw me for a loop. It felt like it was simplified. It felt like it was appified. Like, remember applications? Well, fuck that. Do an app where there's three buttons and you can do one thing. Like, it felt really dumbed down to reach a broader audience. And that bugged, like, the little elitist nerd in me that's like, I want to do all my specifications and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, who wants the inventory and wants to agonize over those details.
Yeah.
So it really bugged me. There were improvements, I think.
Skill system.
Less glitches.
Yeah. I think Miranda is an interesting character.
Yeah.
Super hot, which I hate to admit because it's a video game, but it's nice.
No, her face is directly patterned off the actress.
Yeah.
That's what she looks like.
Wow.
Yeah, the blonde from Chuck.
It's, yep.
I'll pull her up on IMDb while you guys are talking.
Okay. Yvonne Strahovski. Yeah, she's a hottie.
Again, the ending boss was so lame. But in the second one, there was that intro, that beginning with the attack on the Normandy.
Which was really cool.
Yes, I thought that was amazing.
And the whole cutscene where they're bringing him back to life is phenomenal.
When you're, so basically, bad guys shoot a missile into your ship, and parts of it blow up, and you're trying to get your crew out. And this is the same home that you've had in the last game, and you're like, my home is being destroyed, I need to make sure everyone's okay, and you try to get, oh, she is beautiful, you're like, I need to get Joker out of here and stuff. And there's a moment when you're walking through the ship and you have to put on like your space gear, and you look out the top, and the top of the ship is missing, and you're looking out into space, and I think there's a planet like that you're looking at.
Yeah.
You're upside down in orbit around this planet.
Oh, fine.
It's really
losing
cool.
altitude.
Yeah.
Is there really upside down in space? I mean,
well,
yes.
But super cool.
Yeah.
And was this the first one they introduced where if you make evil decisions, you start to look evil?
Yes.
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 Yeah.
That's kind of cheesy, but
definitely a throwback to like Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Turning into a Sith.
Mm-hmm.
Pete, what about you? What'd you think of this game?
I enjoyed it. I was a little peeved by the whole cooldown system, because in the first game you could fire off all 7 of your powers all at once and not have to worry about it. In this one, you have to choose. It's like, I'll use this one, and I have to wait for the cooldown. The skill system, once I got used to it, they really streamlined it. Because in the first game, you had like 150 skill points that you had to spread out. And to max out a skill, you had to pump 15 points into it. And this one, you know, there's 4 levels. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, and that's done.
Yeah.
It was nice and streamlined. And once I got used to it, it was I liked the improvements they made. And plus, graphically, it was like a huge leap forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, graphically, this game was really, really freaking beautiful. So as far as characters go for this game, the same question that I mentioned for the first one, this one has far more characters. I mean, you mentioned Jacob was kind of a throwaway or just didn't do it for you guys. I thought Thane was really freaking cool.
He was cool.
Yeah.
An assassin who was very spiritual and was like at the end of his life and was going to be dying soon. You have Grunt, who is essentially like the super Captain America,
perfect Krogan.
Krogan. Tally and Garrus coming back. Garrus, who is like out of CSEC, he's out of his environment as a cop, and he's just like a free agent.
He went Batman on everybody.
He totally did.
Archangel.
He went by the freaking name of Archangel. And I would probably have to say Morden is my favorite character in this game.
He's a great addition. Like comic relief, and gives you some world building and some new perspective on the Krogan Salarian. Did they introduce that in the first one at all?
Yes, they did.
Yes.
They did.
He gives you another perspective on that whole feud between them.
Because there's actually a major choice you can have in the first one where you can if you say the wrong thing to Rex, you have to kill him.
Ooh.
Which takes yeah. the other two games, and he plays a very large role
yeah.
In the trilogy.
Wow.
So
then you have Legion, yeah. Who is a Geth.
Legion's cool. Steven, he's like the Borg.
Yeah, like you essentially fight the Geth throughout the whole first game.
We should tell you this.
I know. But there's Quarians, just so much. There's so much about this
the
game.
The Quarians create a synthetic race called the Geth.
Quarians were who?
What Tally Zora is.
Backwards legs.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And the Geth, they gain sentience, and they take over the Quarian homeworld, kick the Quarians.
Think Battlestar Galactica.
Yes. Yeah.
The Quarians, because they've left their home planet and go around in this thing called the Migrant Fleet, they have to wear these encounter suits. You have no clue what Tally looks like, ever.
That's what you meant by that. Okay.
Because they get sick if they're introduced into a different environment.
Yeah, living in ships for 300 years, they have no longer have an immune system.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
And so the Geth work, well, you find out that a faction of Geth are working with the Reapers. And so then we land Legion.
Then we have Legion, who joins your crew. So it's amazing. It's amazing.
So Legion is a Geth, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Is the Geth.
He's a Geth. The Geth.
Well, because they're all the same. They're a hive mind type thing.
We are the Borg. We are Geth.
Let me focus the discussion just a little bit, just because we're running long on time already.
Jesus.
The elusive man.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of the elusive man? And the fact that in the second game, you are no longer working for the Council, whether they survived or not. You are not even working for Earth. You've essentially been ousted, and you have been killed and rebuilt by a underground organization called
a terrorist organization.
And because they've rebuilt you, they feel that they own you.
You think you have control over me just because you pay me. I'm Rex. This is how my voice is. Of course.
What do you guys think of the elusive man played by Martin Sheen?
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I almost said Martin Short. That would have been very
different. Yeah, that's a very different elusive man.
I liked him in the second game. Didn't like him as much in the third game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he lost a lot of his three-dimensionality in the third game.
Because he's this villain that you kind of sympathize with, but
I thought the elusive man was really cool. He they ripped off a lot of like kind of film noir-y stuff of the mysterious smoking man.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool, and he gave us a little bit of like satire on sort of corporate greed, that kind of Weyland Yutani thing where he's like, hey man, I paid a lot of money to turn you into what you are. You owe us. And you're like,
it was a bad call, Ripley.
Yeah.
So you're resurrected? Are you human now?
You're still human.
You're still human, but I mean, you effectively died. And it took them 9 months. And that's, I don't want to go into too much detail, but that's one of the plot threads is like Shepard contemplates like
2 years.
Is it 2 years? Time. It's a long time. Shepard contemplates like, am I even still human? Like, am I just a pawn?
I hope we have time to talk about the ending.
We will.
We're running all very long, so we'll see.
I'll have to do a DLC for the ending of this podcast. more enriching ending.
Mass Effect Part 2.
Steven, do you have any questions so far?
I've been putting them out there. I think I'm good now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to point out one thing I think that totally doesn't work in Mass Effect 2. And I would point it out as into the whole trilogy that this moment doesn't work, even though it's cool. Throughout the whole trilogy, you are always Shepard. There is one moment in Mass Effect 2 where you play as Joker, and it was such a shift to play as someone else, it didn't make sense. Like,
it ripped me out of the game.
It was a cool sequence, but it broke the conventions that the game had set up, and you notice they never go back to that. Like, they never have you play as anyone else. Like, you immediately just stay as Shepard again throughout the rest of the trilogy.
It seems like it was a contract negotiation thing when it came to Seth Green. Like, it's like, hey, I want a bigger part in this next game, and
I want a sequence where I have to like run around and make, you know, like, you got to pay me my 40 lines of dialogue.
I want to walk.
I want my Deadpool moment.
that was my only big complaint about the second game. And one of my biggest complaints about the trilogy, really. But Moving on to the final game of the trilogy. Is this anyone's favorite, the third one?
This is my favorite.
This is your favorite of
these. Definitely.
Your favorite, too. Pete, is this your favorite?
It is not my favorite. I actually like Mass Effect 2 more. The main reason is because Mass Effect 3 has a much more linear structure to it. There are events that have to happen in a very specific order. And in Mass Effect 2, you could recruit the people in any order you like. And yes, there were major events that happened at specific times. But in the third one, you absolutely have to go here. You absolutely have to go there. And there's not much advancing it in your way.
But I feel like the structure of 3 doesn't follow the BioWare structure of 3, if that makes any sense. You don't have, like, three big moments. Like, you don't have Pharos, Novaria, Ilos. You can do things out of order. And it's more about gaining the war effort. It's like,
You can always do things out of order in BioWare. Like, in Knights of the Old Republic, you have to go around and find the pieces of the Starforge in whatever order you want. In Knights of the Old Republic 2, you have to go around and find the members of the Jedi Order in whatever order you want.
But I mean, there's like three big events that happen that progress the story along. And that doesn't happen in the third game.
Yeah, they broke their own formula, which I was happy about. Because that was another reason I turned my nose up at Mass Effect when it first came out. Because it was like, oh, you've got to go around to these planets, and da-da-da-da-da. Oh, Dragon Age, you got to go around and get these contracts signed, and blah, 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 blah. BioWare needs to break their own.
Me saying it's my least favorite of the three is like me trying to pick my least favorite of the original Star Wars movie.
Well, they didn't just shrink down, like, or focus how they did the plot line or the storytelling. They reduced the number of characters. Returning for Mass Effect 3, once again, was Garrus and Tali.
Woo!
Woo! Liara came back from the first game. You had James. What was his name? Was it James Vega?
James Vega.
It was James Vega, voiced by Freddie Prinze Jr.
Junior. What's up, loco?
He had Edie, which I thought was brilliant.
Yeah.
To finally actually make her a squad member. Mm-hmm. Then you had Javik, the Prothean,
DLC.
I never had that DLC. So.
He was pretty cool.
Yeah. I didn't really plan as him. He was just such a curmudgeon.
He was. That's kind of what I like about him. He's, you know, because throughout the games, you had this, you were with Liari. You had this romanticized picture of the Protheans being these advanced creatures who really felt that life was precious. And then you meet a Prothean, and they're like, no, we conquered the galaxy. It was ours, damn it.
Yeah, that was great. That was a great disillusioning moment when this, like, beneficent race of, like, masters of the ancient world, it turns out they're dicks.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh.
They're like the Soviet Union of the galaxy. They're just like you're gonna join us or we're gonna make you join us.
Exactly. It's like if we thought the ancient Romans were like cuddly and awesome. I guess sort of like we think of the ancient Greeks.
And I'll say like another thing about the story is this is it. Like this is when the Reaper invasion happens. And though it's pretty linear, major events happen in this game. Like things they have been building to, like Earth gets torn apart. What's the homeworld for the Asari? Is it Asari?
Thessia
gets ripped to shreds. Everyone is just like desperate to save their civilization.
Not the Krogan homeworld.
Krogan.
Well, that place is kind of a shithole to begin with.
Yeah. You got that Queen Thrasher there, whatever her name is. Yeah. You know that.
That was awesome.
A moment.
That was super cool. Thresher is like a giant, like, dune worm monster.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
It's like, how do you fight a Reaper?
Oh, sweet.
It's pretty awesome.
They call on the animal kingdom to fight this.
Yeah. They can survive in space, so they're on all different planets.
Yep.
It's pretty badass. The escalation is what I really appreciate about the third game. Like, this was it. Like, the war is happening, and you've got to get stuff for the war effort or everyone's going to be wiped out.
And one thing they did with this game that I loved is they added multiplayer. And I was wondering the entire time, how the hell are you going to add multiplayer to this game? Basically, you have little teams that go out and are trying to take objectives in the war against either the Reapers, Cerberus, or
Geth.
Geth.
Yeah, it's not competitive multiplayer. It's cooperative.
Yeah.
Like, oh, good.
But yeah, like
it's like Horde mode in Gears of War.
Yes. Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's really great, and it can affect the main game storyline. Like, you have a score in your multiplayer, which affects your score in the main game,
yep.
Which can affect your ending.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. So you get like the great ending if you get 100% completed with the multiplayer.
Okay. Some people hate that because some people don't want to play multiplayer.
Yeah, I fall into that camp. Yeah. I like multiplayer, but I don't want to have to be tied to it in order to get the full experience of the single.
The ending of the game, if you don't do the multiplayer, isn't bad. At least once they fixed it, it wasn't bad.
And there's a lot of endings to the game.
Okay.
Do you guys want to talk about the ending of the trilogy without giving
away too much? I would love to. Okay. Without giving away too much, sure.
How?
I don't think we have time to discuss like each ending. Like, you essentially...
No, that's not what I was going to
point
out. The big thing of the ending is it is filled with revelations that you didn't see before. You know, the relationship of the Reapers to everybody else is spelled out.
Literally, like the little star child tells you.
Yeah, there's a little artificial intelligence sort of, and it's like, here's all the answers. Now you must decide.
The one thing I don't like about the entire series is you can go through the entire game as a dick, go the renegade route, be an asshole the whole time.
That'd be me.
And still choose the good ending.
Oh.
Well, what's the good ending? Because
that's what I'm saying, but you know the blue, the green, or the red ending.
Yeah.
Like,
there's no limitation depending on how you
play
your character.
There is a bad ending to the game that you
there's a fourth ending. You can choose to walk away.
You can kill the Star Child. Like, you can
just totally want to do this now.
You can kill the child, and then the Reapers will just complete the cycle, and then like they do a scene with, like, I think it's thousands of years later, like, Liara, like, dispersed
the little
recordings of Shepard, or of her, and she's like, this is what happened in our cycle, this is how you can break it in your cycle, don't make these mistakes, don't kill the Star Child.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I heard there's this cycle ending I can't say this, because this is, like, a huge spoiler.
Just say it.
Where Shepard doesn't die.
Yes, there is an ending where Shepard does not die.
Cool. At the end of the whole thing, not at the end of the first one?
The end of the entire game.
Oh, he dies again!
He or she dies again at the very end of the trilogy.
Die again.
Spoiler.
Ooh, this is something that's super cool that I loved about the third one. In the third one, you've got so we're building towards this huge confrontation with the giant robots, and then that begins, and that's like the beginning of the end. And you go down to Earth to like help the last remnants of humans, and you're fighting, and it's very desperate, and you feel like everyone's losing, and you get really torn up, and then
there's
opportunity to beam into this place that you need to get to, and it's really hard to get there, and Shepard, the like game mechanic of being able to use him, changes so that you're weaker and you're slower and you're like staggering, and all you have is your pistol now, and some bad guys start popping up, and so you're all like drunk with
pain.
And if you don't shoot these bad guys in time, you're dead. And so it's like you are so intensely like focused, you gotta like pop that guy in the head and get to this thing, and it's just like so painful as you're struggling to get in there. That's like a really gripping moment.
It was so frustrating for me, though, because like there was that one that just kept getting through.
Yeah, that last guy who pops out from behind the pillar.
Was this the first time we see the husks, or were the husks introduced?
They're in one.
They're in the first game.
They're in one. This is the first time we see anything else from the Reapers.
Yeah, the Mass Effect series is really good at taking sci-fi stuff that exists already, putting their own particular spin on it, and then like putting it out there. Husks are basically zombies.
Yes.
Okay.
And they're real scary and awesome and creepy, and it's like
they scream and run at you, and
First take each race and turn them into some sort of puppet minion.
They Borg them out.
Oh,
yeah.
They Borgify them.
So then you've got like an amalgam of the Turians and the Krogan, which are these.
Oh yeah.
Those giant brutes.
Yeah.
At least I think they were. They may have been the thing that the Shadow Broker was.
Yeah. So we're pushing.
I say one more thing about the ending? I'm so sorry.
Sure, go for it.
Okay, when the ending came out originally, before they added on the fix to it, there was this big theory going around the internet called the indoctrination theory. You guys hear about this?
No.
Before the endings were fixed, you know, because they fixed it by adding these monologues after each ending explaining what happened. Before that happened, everyone said, this theory goes that Shepard was indoctrinated for the entirety of the third game. And anytime he saw the kid, that wasn't a kid. It was the Reapers plaguing his mind and slowly turning him in. And each of the endings, depending on what you chose, fell into the Reapers' hands, except for the one where you destroy them.
That's really cool. I like that theory.
I do too.
So in the third one, you see this child get killed by the Reapers in
at the beginning of the game.
Emotional beginning moment. And then throughout the game, you have nightmares as like transition scenes. Not every transition, but throughout, you have a nightmare that you're chasing this kid to try to rescue him and you can't save him.
Huh, cool.
And then the star child at looks the like end the is kid. Similar to the kid.
Ah, okay. So the broken part was you didn't have the monologue explaining who the child was?
No, it's you get to make a big decision at the end.
Yeah.
And depending on the decision, it's one of three or four things. You make this decision, there's a big CGI sequence, and then the game ends. And they created a fix, and it was very ambiguous as to what actually happened when you made the decision. So they created these monologues after each ending, either by, you know, this character, that character, or Shepard, explaining this is the order of events after the decision.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
So we're over the hour mark, and we've got a few more minutes. Is there anything we haven't touched upon? Or, Steven, do you have any questions so far that you want to ask?
Well, I guess the main question is how do you do that? How do you not make the fighting be so stop and click wheel like you were talking about?
I just never used it. Like, you use the click wheel. Use the click wheel to issue commands also, and I never issued commands to my squad members. Like, they just took the actions I generally wanted them to.
You can set them up to be aggressive or defending. You can set them to where they always use their powers, or you make them use their powers, which is the wheel. Okay. If you set it up to where they use their powers, they'll just use them.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's basically them just doing what you want them to do. Okay. I liked to be really tactical about it, so I would stop and then aim their power at a specific thing.
Yeah.
If I want to get those biotic explosions, I need to take control of their powers so I can...
Steven, have you played Skyrim?
No.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Skyrim has a similar thing. Like, it's very action-packed, but you also have to stop the action sometimes to go into your system. Well, and it's fast, but it's you're still like essentially stopping the action.
That'd be the one question I have is how smart are they? Is the AI smart enough that they really...
Got better in the third game. Got a lot.
Yeah.
Third game.
First two, not so good then?
The second one's not
better.
So bad.
It got better in the second one.
It got better each game. But
the first game, they would charge into battle and die, and it was so irritating.
So annoying.
I did not have that problem, but I played the PlayStation version of Mass Effect, which was the first time it had been released, and I think it was running on the Mass Effect 2 engine.
Oh, okay.
So I think they may have already fixed some of those problems.
That's probably
Have you all just played the Have you all played the Xbox version?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm the only one who's played the PlayStation version.
I'll tell you, between this and Knights of the Old Republic, like that stop and start combat, I prefer the Knights of the Old Republic model, where it's like you can rotate around and see sort of everybody around you. With Mass Effect, you have this reticule which pops up, and you can like target the dude in the center of it, and then make your command, but you can't like really zoom out and see everything around you in a 360 view. I liked being able to rotate around and select individual dudes, even if they weren't the closest one.
But that plays more to the fact that you are Shepard and Shepard alone, as opposed to Dragon Age, where you can do that rotation thing.
Oh yeah, I guess you can you swap between perspectives of your squad mates in Mass Effect?
No,
I'm forgetting.
Nope.
No.
No.
But you could in Dragon Age. Yep.
You could in the PC version of Dragon Age.
You can in the Xbox version.
I guess that's the one problem I have with the games. Like, I don't want to micromanage my guys.
Yeah.
Like in a real life scenario, my guys should know what they should be doing. You know what I mean? Like if I'm a real commander, it'd be like, here's your basic orders, follow them and let's go fight. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I mean, this generic way of saying it, but basically, like I don't want it to be like, you shoot that guy in the head and then you walk over here and sit down. I'm like, I don't want to tell you that.
Yeah.
You should know to do that.
Yeah.
So.
But it is a great feeling when you engineer it so that, like, okay, this big guy, you're going to lift him up with your power, you're going to snipe him, and you're going to throw the grenade, and then you go, and then they do it, and you're like, I am amazing. I'm going to heal myself while you guys do that.
I'll grab a cheeseburger, you guys go do all that I just said. Okay.
So. I want to kind of move into the final thoughts of the Mass Effect trilogy, and I'll start us off with something that I said to you, Rob. Now that I have played the Mass Effect trilogy, it's definitely probably – it's hard for me to separate the games. Like, they're all one gigantic game
to
me.
I agree, yeah.
I also played them as a trilogy back-to-back.
Woo.
Yeah, which was also great because I didn't have to wait.
Times. All
yeah.
in a day.
Yeah.
All in a day.
That's not my
I would definitely say they're some of my favorite games of this generation. They're probably somewhere in my top 10, maybe top 5. I'm not sure about that. But I will say this. I feel BioWare has secretly created the best Star Trek game that you could ever play. I feel Mass Effect has so many similarities to Star Trek as far as like this crew of colorful characters traveling around on a ship and having gunfights and making moral decisions and
away missions and
yeah, and trying to decide like what's right for the universe. And I mean, my Shepard was essentially a female Picard, and I feel they've secretly made the best Star Trek game. It's creepy.
Wow, really action packed for a Star Trek.
Game. Yeah.
Well, it depends. Yeah. Star Trek you're watching. You know.
You hated the new ones.
Yeah, I did. They're pretty bad. So
that's another podcast entirely.
That's a whole nother one.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are my thoughts on the trilogy. I would say if you're a Star Trek fan, if you're a science fiction fan, if you're a role playing fan, and especially a first person shooter fan, I would give them a look. I'd give it a go.
I have a quick question for you.
Go
for everybody, actually.
Sure.
Who was everybody's favorite characters in the game? Like everybody has like one, I think.
Yeah.
Garrus. I romanced Garrus throughout the whole trilogy. So at the very end, he was on my squad as I was running to that light that you were talking about, Mark. And they did this great scene where if your romantic interest is in the squad with you, like you have this final moment with them where it's like, no, get on the shuttle. I'll continue the fight. And Garrus is like, don't say that, Shepard. I'll see you tomorrow. And she's like, yeah. I'd like that. And then she keeps running towards the light. I felt Garrus was really well written, and so was Morden. I feel both of those. I mean, most of these characters are very well written, but Tally, Morden, Garrus.
One of the greatest moments in the third game is when you have to decide between the Geth and the Quarians.
Yeah, that's a hard moment.
I got to choose both of them.
I don't know how.
Yep.
I don't know how.
So did I. Every single game, both my Renegade and my Paragon, I got to get them both.
I don't know how, because like watching, because you literally see the Quarian fleet falling into orbit, like burning up in orbit. And if Tally's your love interest, well, even if she's just with you in your squad, she commits suicide right then and there. She throws herself off a cliff.
What? Oh, I didn't know that.
My God, yeah. And you, spoiler. And like if she's your romance interest. You get that Paragon moment where you can try and catch her, and she lets go of the hand.
Oh, man.
It was brutal. But then there was a glitch in the game, and she showed up on the later. But anyway.
So who you brought up a character. Who was your character?
My favorite character, the Krogan, is Rex. Rex. Yeah. Oh.
Not Rex.
Mark, who's your favorite character?
It's hard. I go between Morden and Rex. I am more like Morden as a person.
Yeah.
But I think I prefer Rex. He's like the ultimate badass, just gruff, rude, dirty piece of crap. I like that about him.
He becomes the leader of his
people. Yeah, he's like, he rises to become the emperor of his people. That's nuts. And he's like, you know, kind of guy who like spit and throw a beer bottle against the wall.
Yep.
I like Garrus is my favorite character, but I got to tell you, the favorite romance of all the characters was Tally.
Yeah.
When you could romance Tally. You actually, if you can romance Tally through the third game, she gives you a picture of herself without the suit.
What?
Hello.
I did, and I didn't see the picture.
It's on your nightstand in your cabin.
No.
It's just Samus from Metroid in like a little bikini.
So Tally's pretty hot. That's I could say that.
Does she look like an alien?
She looks like, yeah, she's got, she looks like a tiger. She looks pretty humanoid, like a tiger-striped humanoid.
So gonna go play these games so I can see that again.
Space hamster.
So let's do some final thoughts on the trilogy. Pete, what are your final thoughts on the Mass Effect trilogy?
I would highly recommend anybody playing these games if they like an excellent story, because it had the best story of any video game I've ever played.
Okay. Do you think the system is a little is easily accessible, or do you think the game system itself can be a little obtrusive to some people?
It can't. You have to. I could take what Steven's saying about the interface. The pausing of the interface can be jarring for somebody who's really into shooters. But once you can get used to that, you stop noticing it, and you can really just get into the battle system itself.
Okay.
But if you don't like shooters, it might not be the best game.
Mark, final thoughts?
I think it's a great game. Our discussion reminds me that it's so great. Part of its greatness is because of the characters, because the relationships that you build and the way the characters change, they're dynamic. So that's really cool and really refreshing. I had something else, but I can't recall it. And in the interest of time, I will jettison it out of the back of my brain.
We'll do it. DLC.
DLC, yes.
Yeah, I was always so happy when, like, a character showed back up.
Oh, yeah. They all do.
You're like, oh, he's getting a master's degree now.
I know.
The smallest characters show back up.
Except for Thrain. It's like, oh, Thrain, you're still dying.
Oh, he shows back up.
But he does. He shows back
up. In a big way does he show up.
Yeah.
Rob, do you have any final thoughts?
Yes. It's one of my favorite games of all time. Again, like Peter, say, play this game if you have any interest in playing a fun, role-playing shooter.
Steven, I would highly recommend the PlayStation version. You can get all three games. They might be pretty cheap now. They released the Trilogy Edition. I think they released it for the Xbox also. I'm not
sure.
Yeah. You can get these games really cheap now. So I would implore you to try and give them another chance.
But why the PlayStation over the Xbox?
I feel the PlayStation version just has less bugs just because it came out later.
Only in the first game.
I never had problems in my versions of the games with any type of weird bugs. But they've probably patched them on the Xbox. So.
Yeah, the graphics are a bit sharper on the PlayStation than they are on the Xbox.
And it's one disc for each game.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice.
Oh, you barely have to switch discs.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you're just not a BioWare fan.
No, it's not that. I mean, honestly, like, the one reason why I picked up the game in the first place was because I heard how engrossing the story was. I heard how amazing these characters were, how they interact, and how, as you mentioned, they all tie in later on. It's little things. I love that. I love this universe that they created. I think it's fantastic. But it was hard for me to get past the combat system. So I'm going to give it a shot.
Give it a shot.
I'm going to give it a shot again. Honestly, I will.
You just have to hot button your favorite powers, and then you don't have to look at the wheel.
All right. I'm going to be screaming at my TV, but I'll blame all you guys. So.
We're almost at hour 15, and I feel we still haven't done justice. There's so much I wanted to talk about, and I feel we have to end it short because we got stuff we got to do. But, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming out tonight and discussing this wonderful trilogy with me. If you have any questions or comments, you can email them at nerdoutcastpodcast@gmail.com. Does anyone have anything they wish to plug?
I do.
Yes.
I, Mark Soloff, being of sound mind and body, have a podcast called Blastro Podcast. It's a comedy podcast that pretends to be a science podcast, and I play an idiot scientist character as the host. So please check it out. It's free on iTunes, it's on Stitcher, and you can download it directly from the website blastropodcast.com if you're so inclined.
Cool. Pete, Rob, Steven?
No plugs.
Not yet.
Good.
All right, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming out tonight. I have been your host, Chris Bashan, and my guests tonight have been...
Rob Shoemate.
Mark Soloff.
Steven Scalabrino.
And Peter Fuchs.
Thank you, and have a good evening.